Coming up this week on the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, it's our one-year anniversary palooza. Dia de los Muertos comes to the Disneyland Resort. Universal Studios Hollywood introduces a new RIP tour for Halloween Horror Nights. Knott's Scary Farm releases its new offerings for 2018. Okay. And soon you'll be able to order an adult cocktail alongside R2-D2 at Ogus Cantina and Galaxy's Edge beginning in 2019. Plus, a little bit later on, we're going to talk about our favorite moments from the past year of podcasting and what we did on our summer vacations. Served with a sugar rim and a lime twist, this is the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. This is the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast for the week of September 10th, 2018. Visit our travel partner, Magical Vacation Planner by Karis, for helping plan your next vacation getaway to any of the following: Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney and Aulani, Universal Studios Orlando, and Royal Caribbean, Princess, Carnival Cruises, and more. Get your free consultation by visiting Magical Vacation Planner by Karis on Facebook or by visiting magicalvacationplanner.com/staff/CARISS-MILANO. And that was for Karis because she called me out on misspelling her name a couple of weeks ago. So hopefully I got it right that time. Welcome, everybody, to the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, a discussion of the latest news, reviews, and history from all of the Southern California theme parks and beyond. Brought to you by our team of theme park fans and experts, I am Chris Ramirez, the host and executive producer of Vacationland, and this week I am joined by our associate producer and Knott's Berry Farm reporter, Brandis Strotman. Hello, Brandis.
Hello.
Alternate John and Knott's Berry Farm reporter, John Strotman. Welcome, John.
Thank you.
And we were supposed to have two more panelists on the show today, but unfortunately, last minute they got sick. And so we hope Aaron and David are feeling better, and we send out all of our good wishes to them. Also, other associate producer John is going to be hopefully wrapping up what he's working on lately. So he's going to be hopefully rejoining us in a couple of weeks, just in time for Halloween. So I wanted to mention that, and he's doing well, and he's moving is what it is. And if you've ever moved, you know what a just miserable ordeal that is, and trying to find a new house. So
it's the worst.
Yeah. He's moving like a half a mile away from where he currently lives. And after this, I am maybe going to go try and help him move. But all right, so it is just the three of us this week, and which is fine. We have a good time here no matter what. So let's talk about our 1 year anniversary palooza. You guys believe it's already been 1 year since we started this podcast?
Yeah, I didn't think it would go this far.
Yeah, I didn't think it would last.
No offense, Chris, but
none taken. I didn't think it was going to last this long either. And who knows how long it's going to last beyond this. But so just a quick note on this podcast and its origins. Brandis has been here since day one. Brandis and I have known each other for a long time, and we're going to do another episode soon where we're going to kind of reintroduce the members of the podcast team to the listening audience. And we've added a few new voices in the last month or so. So everybody's kind of familiar with our newest members like Karen and David. But I want to reintroduce some of the people we haven't heard from in a while. I want to reintroduce Aaron, and I want to reintroduce Diane, and of course David, everybody knows, is the author of Skipper Stories and was a former Jungle Cruise skipper. And we're going to go back on our backgrounds, but Brandis and I worked together a long time ago at Starbucks, and I know she's a big theme park fan. And so when I was conceiving the idea of this podcast, I asked her to do it. And surprisingly, for whatever reason, she said yes.
It's also how I got into YouTube. I have this thing where I don't say no to experiences like that. As John was yesterday telling me, I need to start after I got eyelash extensions.
Oh.
Because they were offered.
For free? It's like somebody walking up like, hey, you want
to... Well, yeah. Somebody I know is trying to get certified. And So she needs people to practice on. And
the reason I said be careful, though, is because they're like, eye ducts were like...
They got clogged with glue and... Yeah, I was in a lot of pain.
If anybody's going to do anything to me, like in close proximity to my eyes or anything that kind of, like, I'm going to want them certified. Like, I don't take free haircuts for that same reason. Like, if I'm going to get a haircut from somebody, I'm getting it from somebody that's taken at least one, barber class in their lifetime.
You know, if it's a new experience and somebody says, do you want to do this? So it's like with, you know, my YouTube stuff, it was somebody just contacted me and said, I need somebody to do this. You would be perfect. I didn't even met him ever. And I'm just like, you know what? That sounds fun. Sure. And then you contact me. Do you want to do a podcast? And I'm like, why not?
And part of that was because I had seen your YouTube stuff. And I was like, oh, Brandis has got a really good presence, you know, and she, she speaks well and she can read a script and do all this. And I'm like, hey, let's do it. And she's like, yeah, let's do it. And so then John, or alternate John, is of course Brandis's husband. Yeah. And the first couple of shows you sat in.
Well, I listened to it like on my drive in, she was like, oh, I'm doing this podcast. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Okay, cool. And then I was listening to it and I was like, man, it sounds like a lot of fun. And so thankfully you guys let me come play.
Yeah. No, thank you. It's fun. As a lot of times, John has been, you know, he's been here, and one time, I think only one show ever where Brandis has not been able to join us, and you know, so John's actually he's jumped right in and has become a valuable member of the team. Do you guys any memories stand out from the last year of doing this? Because I agree with Brandis. I certainly didn't think it was going to last a year.
You know, it's funny. The only episode I truly remember doing was our first episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just, you know, the whole setup and getting used to talking and knowing it's being recorded.
Yeah. And sort of the genesis of this was, I'm a big fan of, obviously we're all big fans of theme parks. Brandis and John did they have annual passes to Knott's Berry Farm along with their two kids and, or two and a half, and your, Caitlin, your daughter does not have a pass.
She no longer has a pass because she, the last time we bought her a pass, she only went once.
Okay.
So it cost more than a ticket. So we just stopped buying her a pass.
Knott's won on that one.
Right. Take that. Yeah. They also won on something else that we'll talk about in relation to Halloween.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that a little bit later. But
Knott's, or maybe I'm just too old to shop online now.
Knott's will get their money. But so I listen to a lot of theme park podcasts, and some of them are good. Some of them are okay. And I thought, well, we can certainly cover some more things. And there's a million Disney podcasts out there. Everyone's got a Disney podcast in the last 10 years. But I said that, you know, nobody covers Knott's Berry Farm. Nobody talks about Universal Studios Hollywood. And some of the podcasts I've listened to, I said, if the format could change a little bit, it could be a really interesting listen. And I think we've really hit our stride. Our first episode, in case you're wondering, was on September 12th, 2017. So just a little under a year ago that we started doing this. But I am really excited about where we've gone and our numbers are getting bigger. I want to do a little bit better in the next coming year. So we're going to do more. And that's going to lead us into our next discussion. We're doing a giveaway, right?
All right.
Yeah. So we have three prizes so far, and this is part of our 1 year anniversary Palooza giveaway pack. So right now, what we have in our prize pack is we have a signed autographed copy of Tales from the Jungle, Skipper Tales or Skipper Stories, or something. He's not here to tell me the name of the book. Skipper Stories, Tales from the Jungle Cruise by Dr. David Marley, a former Disneyland cast member and a professor of history at Cal State Fullerton. And so that is in there. It's actually a really good book. I am in that book several times, in case you haven't read it.
Oh, so now I have to now buy it have, instead of just waiting for him to give me a signed copy like most authors do.
Yeah, I am in that book a few times. And so we have a copy of that. If you go back and you listen to one of our previous episodes, we made a big deal about the Snoopy birthday ears. So birthday ears, birthday celebration for the podcast. We're going to give those. And on our recent trip to Universal Studios Hollywood, I managed to pick up a really cool prize. So we went, me and Aaron and a few other people and Karen went to Universal Studios Hollywood, and we did a vlog to say goodbye to Jurassic Park The Ride, which I know everyone is super sad about. Certainly, there were a lot of people there. We ended up actually waiting 2 hours and 45 minutes in line for the ride. I've never waited in line for that long.
And it was hot.
And it was
I wasn't there. I just know that Universal Studios is always hot.
It is. It was very warm, especially down on the lower lot. Like, that lower lot just gets – it increases 10 degrees. You can feel it as you're going down the
escalator. Yeah, it's because it's – it's like there's a windbreaker, so you're not getting any cool breezes. Right. So the sun's being like concentrated right on you.
And it was warm. Now, we only waited in the sun for a little bit, but I swear to God that they had the extended queue open all the way out, and it started at the Warner Brothers lot in Burbank. It was just way out there. So, but we picked up a really cool coaster, and we did part of our vlog. We did we visited the Hello Kitty store.
Did you build a bow?
We did. Cameron did build and bought a bow.
How disappointed was she?
She wasn't. She loved it. She thought it was the greatest thing ever, and she wore it the rest of the day. So, yeah, Karen's a big college football fan, and so she picked colors that were reminiscent of her favorite college football team. And so, and it was that day there was a game, so she got to, she wore, I mean, she thought it was the greatest thing ever. I don't get it. We ate the s'mores treat there.
Nice.
And we had a few of the treats, but anyways, I got this really cool coaster. It's Hello Kitty dressed as a dinosaur with the Jurassic Park logo on it. And so that's going to go into our prize pack, as well. Now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, how do I win these fabulous prizes? Well, let me tell you. So as part of our 1 year anniversary palooza, the way we have come up with a way for you to win the prize pack. So the prize pack is going to be given away one of two ways. You can either share a video from our YouTube collection and share it to social media, not just, you know, to your neighbor, but share it to social media, the social media platform of your choosing. You can share it to YouTube. You can share it to Facebook. You can share it to Twitter. You can share it to Instagram. Any social media outlet of your choosing using the hashtag the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. So that's one way to do it. And I'm hoping to promote our YouTube channel a little bit more. The second way that you can win our fabulous prize pack, and we may throw in a couple more small things as time goes on. So the second way you can do it is to, we are on Instagram, and our Instagram is at VL Podcast. And if you are on Instagram and you share one of our posts from Instagram using the same hashtag the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, you can also enter to win the prize pack. And so all entries will be accepted until October 31st in order to be considered. So you must mark your hashtag and your share by October 31st, 2018 in order to be considered. And then after October 31st, what we're going to do is we're going to find a way to live stream, live Facebook the drawing, and we will contact the winner and we will send out the prizes to them. So that is our 1 year celebration. Again, we're going to have a get to know you episode where we bring in everyone that's worked on the podcast in the past year, and just so that the listeners, if you're a new listener, you can get to know us. But that's just kind of us in a nutshell. The three of us that are in the room currently. Now, how's your guys' Labor Day? You guys enjoy your Labor Day?
Well, it's the weekend before school starts, so I pretty much spent it trying to find a backpack that I could not remember where I put.
I hate that.
And the boys and I went to the pool a bunch.
Yeah, I saw that.
While I searched for a backpack.
So you briefly considered going to Knott's Berry Farm, and for those of you that don't know, Knott's Berry Farm had a promotion. What was that promotion, Brandy?
It was called Dollar Days. So they had hot dogs, pizza, cotton candy, popcorn, and pretzels for a dollar.
Yeah, and it was at very specific locations. And we actually put out the list on our Facebook page, like where these specific locations were, right?
Yes, and so from what I saw online, so we were going to go for date night, John and I, and on our way there, we realized not only is it Labor Day, but it's Dollar Days, so there was no way we were going to be able to move around, so we ended up not going, but online, people were saying the pizza was a pretty big slice of pizza for a dollar. Everyone was really happy with the quantities of what you were getting for a dollar, so if Knott's Berry Farm does it again, I probably will try to go to early entry.
I got to wonder if it's worth it. Like, I really do. Like, I mean, I thought about going, and I thought about looking at it, and then I just thought, like, the lines, I think one of them is that, I'm trying to look up the locations, but one of them, I believe, was Sutter's, which is right past the Wagon Camp show, and those lines are miserable on a normal day. Like,
yeah.
The last time we went, we waited something like an hour for chicken nuggets. So I can't imagine if you're, you know, selling dollar pizza, what that must have been like.
Well, that's the good thing about being a pass holder is when you get early entry. So you get there at 9, and then by the time they open up the food, most people are just now arriving. They don't want to stop to eat, but now you're ready to eat. So. Dollar right. Days would work for pass holders best.
And I wonder what it is about Labor Day. Something about Labor Day and Knott's and these wacky promotions. So funny story about me. Do you guys remember about, I don't know, This would be about 20
years
ago.
Back in 98. Yeah,
98. That's right.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
So back in 1998, a radio DJ by the name of Rick Dees, and some of you may know who Rick Dees is, and Knott's Berry Farm came up with the brilliant idea that they were going to have a promotion at – no, this is for Cinco de Mayo. It wasn't for Labor Day. That they were going to have a promotion where on Cinco de Mayo, you got into Knott's Berry Farm for a nickel. As you can imagine, this went about as well as you would think it did. And there was there wasn't a near riot. There was an actual riot there at Knott's Berry Farm. And so to get in, and I worked that day. I remember.
You were there.
I was there. So I was just like brand new out of high school and working there. And I was already like a supervisor in the restaurant, and they were looking for extra bodies. So they sent me over to the funnel cake stand that was outside, Ghost Rider, the one that's outside Ghost Rider. And so like the crowd never actually got to us because by the time an hour had gone by that the park was open, they had shut it down. And so when they shut it down first with the regular cops. And then that wasn't enough. And so they had to call in the actual riot police. And I remember people being locked in, to Mrs. Knott's Chicken Dinner Restaurant because people were rioting inside Knott's Berry Farm. And that was one, and so we locked the doors to the ghost town, the funnel cake, the Ghost Rider funnel cake. And so keeping that in mind, I can only imagine what it was like for dollar hot dogs. And so there was, you could purchase hot dogs, popcorn, a 16-ounce fountain drink, soft drinks, and ices for a dollar at select locations in the park, as well as a dollar pizza or $8 for a whole pizza.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, that is actually, because their whole pizza is pretty good size.
That's pretty big.
Now, I do want to say one thing. When you're saying about, you know, the riot, everyone online seemed to be very happy with Dollar Days.
Okay.
But I've also been at Knott's Berry Farm when it got shut down by the police early and it didn't make the news.
And we talked about that, right?
At the Boysenberry Festival a couple years ago. And yeah, my friends and I are just doing our thing. We did the wine tasting and then we're doing our shopping. And the police come by just ushering long crowds and we're like, what's going on? And somebody walking by, because the police were just like, when police are shutting down crowds, they're not nice. They're not going to tell you what's going on. Right. And so it was somebody walking by told me that there was a major fight there. A huge group of people started fighting. And so they were shutting down Knott's early. And we were in the middle of purchasing something. And the lady that owned the booth, she's like, you know what? They're not telling you to leave. Just finish your purchase. And then so it's like as soon as we step out of the booth, the employees, you know, the cops had already gone by. Now the employees are like doing a sweep, telling us leave. So then we had to call for a ride. And it was insane outside. And this drunk girl was twerking on a pylon, like on top of it, right in front of the cops.
Like you do.
Yeah.
Like you do. Yeah. We talked about this during we talked about the Boysenberry Festival because they took away the card where you could, you know, buy 15 drinks or whatever on one card. That was one of the things that they changed with this year's Boysenberry Festival, was that they changed the...
No, they're not as heavy-handed on the pours.
There you go. Yeah. I enjoyed it this year, though. But so, yeah, something about Knott's Berry Farm and riots that I just, I don't know.
Yeah, what is it? Because they're not trashy, so why are they...
Yeah. It just this lends itself to riots. Although, in recent, and it's also on our Facebook page, if you take a look through the archives of our Facebook page. The last riot that happened, well, no, there was two riots that have happened at Disneyland that I know of. One was in the 70s when a group of what they called yippies took over Disneyland. And, you know, these were...
Yippies? What's yippies?
Youth. They were a youth international party. Basically, they were young people who were protesting, supposed to be protesting the Vietnam War. And it was the very, you know, 70s kind of...
I didn't realize Disney was supporting the war.
Well, and that was, you know, Disney was the establishment. You know, there was no more, you know, Disneyland for years had policies against wearing ripped jeans and having long hair. And, you know, they had just relaxed those policies. So they did things like, you know, smoke pot. I mean, it was supposed to be this big protest against the establishment. And what they ended up doing was smoking pot on Tom Sawyer's Island, basically.
Wait, so they paid to get in?
Yeah, they paid to get in.
So they protested by giving Disneyland money.
They sure did.
Those protests confuse the heck out of me. There's been a lot of those lately going on, and they always confuse me.
I don't understand how you protest something by buying it. So anyway, so that was one riot. And then I think it was Rick Dees also. I'll look it up in the archives, in the historical archives. But one of them involved Rick Dees, and show up in a costume. So if you showed up in a costume to Disneyland before a certain amount of time, you either got in for like half off, or like if your kid showed up. But again, so many people showed up that they had to shut it down early, and then people were just streaming into Disneyland. And that's one that doesn't get talked about a whole lot. But
Rick Dees is causing all kinds of trouble.
This is Rick Dees, yeah.
Maybe you sure it wasn't Howard the Duck?
Random.
As Disco Duck, thank you very much. Rick Dees, I guess I'll call it Disco Duck. And I gotta say, I gotta give a shout out to Universal Studios Hollywood. I think they're called team members, cast members. They were amazing that day. There were so many good cast members. There was a few cranky ones, but I mean, the line for Jurassic Park was 3 hours long, so what do you expect? But we were eating at the Three Broomsticks, and Karen just happened, this is Karen's life, just happened to mention that we wanted the butterbeer ice cream. And but we didn't want to get back in the line, because at that point, they were already starting to queue up people outside. Like, it was a line outside to get into Three Broomsticks.
Yeah.
And so she was like, I think a manager or somebody came by, and he said something to the effect of like, oh, are you going to get you guys anything else? And Karen just happened to casually mention, I would love some butterbeer ice cream, but I don't want to wait in that line. No joke. 5 minutes later, the guy shows up with two containers of butterbeer ice cream. And
did he charge you?
They didn't charge us. Just showed up.
Oh, I gotta try that.
He's like, have a magical day. It's just, or you know, whatever, you know, it's Harry Potter magic. I don't know what he said, but he said something to that effect. And so we just got, and I won't guarantee that this will happen every single time you mention wanting butterbeer ice cream.
Maybe you have to mention Karen.
I'm gonna be like,
I'm gonna mention Karen.
Get it.
I want a souvenir mug.
Yeah, maybe.
No, I know, but I want more.
So that was that. You know, and that's the kind of stuff that they used to do. That kind of stuff at Disneyland all the time. And you know, they've gotten a lot more corporate. You know, about the bottom line. But so that was really cool. And then we got in line for Jurassic Park, and the wait time was posted 95 minutes. I'm willing to wait 95 minutes. I'll wait 90 minutes for a ride if it's a good ride. If it's a ride I really want to go on. We ended up waiting almost 2 hours and 45 minutes. Almost 3 hours in line for Jurassic Park, but that's what we were there for. They have this weird thing where we were going to single rider it to begin with, because we didn't care. And we were going, they have this weird thing where they close their single rider line off after about 20 people, and then they'll tell you it's closed, but they don't tell you that they're going to reopen it. They're like, no, the single rider line's closed. So you're like, all right, I'm just going to get in this really long line. But they will eventually reopen it once those 20 people or so go through. So if you go to a ride at Universal that has the single rider line, just make sure you, and it's closed, make sure you wait a few minutes, and then it'll probably reopen. But then the ride broke down. Then they had, like, I think there were so many people buying Express that day that there were Express Pass that they were slowing down the regular flow of the line. Anyways, it was a disaster. We were super cranky by the time we got out. So Karen again went and talked to someone, and they were like, we're really sorry about that. That sucks. You know, here, they give us a couple of express passes that we were able to use on the studio tour, which was an hour at 8 o'clock at night, and they were able to use it on the mummy ride. So I just got a
favorite part of the studio tour, by the way, is that you could bring your beer.
Oh, can you?
Yeah.
There used to be like a very strict no eating and drinking rule on that.
Oh, well, they never stopped us. Maybe they didn't see us.
But, yeah, definitely, I want to thank Universal Studios, cast members and team members. And the one thing I learned, and use this if you go to Universal Studios, folks, if you want to do the Kung Fu Panda experience, the DreamWorks Theater, which we've talked about, do it later in the day. We showed up at 10 o'clock in the morning. We did that as our first thing. Huge mistake. We waited like a half an hour for this thing. And it's cute. I don't know if it's a half hour queue. I'm just saying, have you done that? Have you done the Kung Fu Panda?
No. Last time I was there, they were just setting it up. Like,
oh, okay.
It wasn't interactive yet or something. Like,
yeah.
Whatever. But no, we didn't do it. Our first stop is always Harry Potter World, though.
Yeah, you got to go.
And then we go to Springfield, and then we do the studio tour, and then back to Harry Potter World.
It was Labor Day weekend, which is my fault for going on Labor Day weekend, but it was unreal busy there. So, all right. So make sure to go to youtube.com, look up the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, and you will find, the Universal vlog is not up yet, but we have our vlogs up for, the Bugs Land departure. And we also did a review of the Lamplight Lounge at Pixar Pier. So that being said, it is time for park hopping.
Welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland. There are several ways to visit this happy place. If this is your first visit, you may enjoy the guided tour.
Welcome to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of L.A.
Welcome one and all, y'all come have a ball, things are very fine, riding on the old Knightsbury line.
All right, Park Hopping is our news segment, and Brandis, we're going to start with you. We're going to kick it off with Dia de los Muertos at the Disneyland Resort.
Okay, celebrating family in the spirit of Día de los Muertos with a new seasonal experience at Disney California Adventure. This fall, you and your family are invited to visit Disneyland Resort for a return of a special seasonal experience in both parks inspired by the spirit of Día de los Muertos. You know, I hate that they say you're invited when you have to pay. Okay. At Disneyland California Adventure.
I invite people all the time and make them pay. Yeah. I invite you to dinner. I'm not buying.
I'm going to invite people to my wedding and charge everyone. At Disney California Adventure Park, Disney Pixar's Academy Award-winning hit film Coco is at the heart of the Plaza de la Familia, a limited-time festivity at Paradise Gardens. Families visiting Plaza de la Familia can share meaningful memories of loved ones at the interactive memory wall, enjoy the Arbol de la Vida, which translates to Tree of Life, photo location, and take part in the new mask-making craft that depicts a spirit guide from the film Coco. Also featured will be the immersive art exhibit titled The World of Coco, Mariachi Music. Oh, that there was a comma there, sorry. Also featured will be an immersive art exhibit titled The World of Coco. Mariachi music performed on the bandstand and a delicious Mexican food menu at Paradise Gardens Grill. Several times a day, the uplifting show, A Musical Celebration of Coco, brings together the storytellers of Plaza de la Familia and the Grammy Award-winning Mariachi Divas for a festive show of music and dance that tells the incredible story of young Miguel's journey as seen in Coco. I'm saying Coco way too much. New this year, this charming troupe of singers and authentic folklorico dancers is joined by Miguel, brought to life in a whimsical handcrafted style inspired by traditional Mexican folk art. While at Disney California Adventure Park, be sure to also visit Cars Land, where an ofrenda, a remembrance altar, pays tribute to Doc Hudson, a.k.a. the fabulous Hudson Hornet. Look for it at Ramon's House of Body Art, just down Route 66.
That's actually one of my favorite things. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the pictures of the ofrenda, but it's actually really cool. One of the other podcasts I listened to said that they didn't – have you guys seen Cars 3? You guys are familiar with the Cars franchise?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
So, you know, Paul Newman passed away before Cars 3 was released. And so as part of their tribute to Paul Newman, they did this sort of Dia de los Muertos ofrenda. It's like an altar where, you know, you put pictures and you put candles and flowers and yeah. Go watch Coco. It talks about it all in there if you don't know what I'm talking about. But so they did one for Doc Hudson after Paul Newman passed away. So that's cool. It's really cool.
It's
really neat. Really touching.
And so over at Disneyland Park, Zocalo Park in Frontierland is decked out in an elaborate and colorful display in honor of Dia de los Muertos. This immersive setting features beautiful marigolds and papel picado throughout the installation, along with the traditional ofrenda, calaveras, which is sugar skulls, an iconic figure of La Catrina, and delicious food at the nearby Rancho del Zocalo. This special experience inspired by Día de los Muertos begins September 7th at Disneyland Resort and continues through November 2nd, 2018.
All right. So that's cool. I mean, I love the Día de los Muertos. I don't celebrate Día de los Muertos, but some of the stuff that they put out is really, really pretty. Do you guys know anybody that celebrates that holiday?
Well, I mean, this is Southern California.
But do you guys know anybody personally that celebrates that holiday?
I have Facebook friends that always acknowledge it on Facebook, but yeah. I've never known of anything further than that.
Yeah, I think Disney thinks a lot more people actually participate in this holiday. Maybe I'm wrong. Actually participate. But with the popularity of Coco, obviously, they started this last year. And, they had a preview of the movie and, some of the stuff that they did, the Art of Coco, in their little meet and greet area. So I think they're just expanding on this more and more. And of course, Southern California has a large Hispanic population. And by the way, I'm going to commend Brandis for the pronunciation of those words.
Thank you. I took some Spanish.
Go check it out. There's a lot of really cool stuff. In addition, the offerings at California Adventure for, Halloween and, I know they don't want Dia de los Muertos associated with Halloween, but it just happens to fall in the same. The fall offerings happens to fall in the same time period. The fall offerings at California Adventure and Disneyland, I believe, began on the 7th. So go check those out. They are a lot of fun. And I'm hoping to make – I saw a great video the other day of the big pumpkins, the big Disneyland pumpkins getting carted down the freeway, on the back of a flatbed truck down the 5.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. So I love the Halloween decorations there and all the fall – decorations at the Disneyland Resort. I'm gonna go check those out soon. So, all right. Well, thank you, Brandis. John, let's go over to you. What's going on at Universal Studios Hollywood?
Universal Studios Hollywood unearths all new RIP tour at this year's Halloween Horror Nights.
True fear comes from within. Face Poltergeist, Halloween 4, and Stranger Things at Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights.
Featuring a private guided tour, gourmet buffet dinner, unlimited express line privileges, and access to exclusive Stranger Things lounge. The all-new RIP tour in Universal Studios' first-class ticket to terror this Halloween Horror Nights, featuring a private guided tour with trolley access, a gourmet buffet dinner, unlimited Universal Express line privileges, and exclusive access to a specially themed Strange Things lounge. Each RIP tour accommodates groups of 12, making it ideal for larger parties or smaller mixed groups. The highlights include exclusive Stranger Things experience featuring themed photo ops, props from the popular Netflix series, and scare actor makeup demonstrations. What does that mean, scare actor makeup demonstrations?
Scare actors are the people that run around jumping out at you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so I'm assuming
they're going to ruin them. They're going to ruin the magic. You're going to pay for them to ruin the magic.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Disney's been doing that for years.
Unlimited line privileges via Universal Express access to all mazes, terror tram, and available rides. Private VIP trolley transportation to backlot mazes and terror tram. That sounds pretty.
I know. How much
sweet,
is that?
Actually.
Yeah, do they list a price on there?
And that is the best Halloween pun yet. Instead of VIP. It's RIP.
Yeah, they've been using that pun for years. And I want to say that this is maybe one of the first years that they've offered it. I know they offer this all the time, at Universal Studios in Orlando, but I don't think they've ever gone as in depth, or advertised it this early for the Universal Studios tour in Hollywood. Was that it, John?
No, there's more.
Okay.
Reserved VIP seatings at the Jabberwockies live show. A gourmet buffet dinner.
Oh, good Lord. Jabberwocky chef.
You know what? I haven't heard of them in a long time.
Yeah.
So is it a gourmet buffet or buffet?
This one is a buffet.
Oh,
so
no.
That was already taken.
Knott's gets
yeah,
the
they
that.
Win that round. gourmet buffet dinner featuring special themed Stranger Things foods.
Waffles?
I'm going to guess it's a lot of waffles.
Including apparently named, appropriately named upside down sliders at exclusive VIP dining room. You get two complimentary drinks.
Alcohol?
Drinks.
Yeah, I'm assuming they're not going to give you any booze in that one.
Access to the two lounges, including the Stranger Things themed lounge and lounge on the park.
So it's a room, it's a room with a lot of Christmas lights hung around it.
And Winona Ryder.
Because what else is she doing?
Pickpocketing you.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, let it go. You don't know what it's like being an actress. Commemorative RIP tour credentials and complimentary valet parking.
All right. So that sounds pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. How much is that?
I don't know. Somebody want to look that up really quick because my phone's dead.
Yeah. It's,
okay, Google. Mm-hmm. How much is the 2018 Universal Studios RIP tour? Oh, it just takes me to the website. Usually it talks back to me.
Well, we're waiting for that. Now, what did the Jabberwockies have to do with this?
Okay, so the Jabberwockies was basically their replacement for the Bill and Ted show. The Bill and Ted show they used to have the Bill and Ted, like, Rockin' Graveyard Review. I don't know. But they used to have a Bill and Ted show. And the Bill and Ted show got themselves into some trouble a couple of years ago. And so for a while, they had no show.
Wait, what did they do?
So it was when that Superman movie came out, the latest, the newest, Man of Steel.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Man of Steel came out. A report, and I haven't heard it, and I haven't seen any video of it or anything like that, but they made what was perceived to be a homosexual slur.
Oh, I didn't. That's not where I saw it
going. During the show, what did you think it was?
I thought they were going to make fun of, like, Christopher Reeves being paralyzed or
no,
something.
No, yeah. So apparently they made like a slur in the show, and so they canceled the show for the next year, and so then for whatever, maybe because it's Blacklight, I have no idea why. So Jabberwockies was the replacement show for Bill and Ted.
Okay.
So,
So the tickets are $159.99.
Is that just for the RIP tour?
Let me see.
I'm going to assume that that's just
front of the line entry, VIP entrance.
Which for $159?
It says VIP entrance to Universal's floor. Oh, this is for Florida.
Ah, well, there you go. We'll figure it out. We will post a link on the we'll post a link on the website, and we'll post a link on the Facebook page.
If that does include the ticket price, I would say I personally cannot justify spending that amount of money, but that is worth that amount of money.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, if I had more than $300 to just throw around at the moment, John and I would definitely be going to that.
Yeah, that, I mean, if it's $159 for the ticket and the tour, I think it's just for the tour. I mean, I'm going to assume the tour is probably a little bit more, but,
I mean, you get to meet Winona Ryder.
Right. All right. So peek behind the magic. Here's what we did. We actually paused the podcast so that Brandis could take a moment and look at this, look this up. And Brandis, what did you find?
Okay. So it does include entry. The cost is $159 up to $229 depending on the day you go. So if you go on a weeknight earlier in the season, oh, look right there. It's $159 if you go on a Wednesday on September 26th. But if you wait till October, the prices slowly rise.
Yeah, like everything, like with Disneyland.
Not Scary Farm does the same thing.
Scary Farm does the same thing. So as you get closer to, but that's actually $159 to go in like September.
Wait, for Halloween night, which is a Wednesday, it's only $179.
That's crazy. That might be actually.
Like if you don't have kids, that's a perfect Halloween.
Yeah. You gotta get up in the morning and go to work. I mean, you don't go to work, I mean.
No, we don't work the next day.
Wait, which is it? Halloween is what?
Halloween's on Wednesday.
And we don't work on, you don't work.
You do? You work the day after Halloween?
The 1st of November?
I thought the whole thing shut down. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Oh. No, I'm here. Oh, so I could go, but I have kids, so I can't go.
I go to work on Thursdays.
Yeah,
you do. Like, I don't know. I'm going to text you from my bed. Ha ha.
There we go. So, but again, but Halloween night, if you didn't have kids, like $179 and just two people, that's a great deal. You get tickets. You don't have to wait. And those lines are miserable.
Dinner.
You get dinner. Man.
At valet parking?
I may not go to home. Man, I go to work the next day. Was it valet parking as well?
Valet parking.
That's actually a really good deal. So, that's not a bad deal at all.
And the Jabberwockies.
And the Jabberwockies. And Winona Ryder.
That's right.
I do have to say fall is the time the norovirus is going around and it's highly contagious.
Oh, man.
You want to catch it on gross. Halloween night and miss Thursday.
Gross. Right, there you go. Thank you.
Who's going to doubt you?
So that's actually really, how much is the Universal Studios buffet package? It was 147.
You mean the
early entry with the buffet and the ticket
for Knott's?
For Knott's, yeah.
It really depends on the day.
Okay.
And they have a lot of great deals for that. You could go like on was it Gold Star? You could get tickets for $30.
I did see that, but that doesn't include the buffet.
No, nothing includes the buffet. No matter what you get, whether you have season passes or you buy a one-day ticket, the buffet costs extra. It's an add-on.
Oh, so I could go on like Gold Star and get like cheap tickets.
Yes, and then you just go on and add the dinner.
Ooh, okay.
And then you can't do the dinner without your ticket, though. You do have to show when you show up. So you set the time you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And when you show up at that time, they check your ticket for the dinner and your ticket for... Oh. But the reason they do that, I mean, yeah, they don't want people crashing the dinner if they're not going to Not Scary Farm.
Right, yeah.
But on top of that, once, because you get early entry, so they're taking you from your dinner to the back entrance.
Gotcha. Like over there by Bigfoot Rapids?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's special entry and everything. Yeah, I'm actually really excited.
Yeah, and we're gonna go. We're working out the details. We're gonna go and probably vlog it and have some buffet. And I've been to Not Scary Farm in years, so which is leads us into our next discussion. Brandis, you posted a video on the Facebook page. What's going on at Halloween Haunt 2018?
Okay, so I'm really excited.
Most of the year, we're working hard to make sure it's easy for you to have fun at Knott's Berry Farm. But every fall for over 40 years, our focus shifts a little to scaring the heck out of you. So the scares you get at the park are 100% pure evil.
Okay, Knott's announces lineup for new offerings for Halloween Haunt 2018. For those of you that didn't see the video, Knott's Berry Farm has announced its plans for the 46th annual Knott's Scary Farm on Thursday night, August 30th. Always popular, the Scary Farm event typically sells out, boasting lively crowds every night. This year, the Scary Farm will open select evenings September 20th through October 31st and will feature 14 mazes and haunted attractions. Popular mazes slated to return include Dark Ride, that was brand new last year and it's amazing. That wasn't in the story. I just added that. The Red Barn. That's my least favorite. That one's not that great. Paranormal Inc., which is amazing. That one's seriously probably the best. Okay. Pumpkin Eater, which is, that one is not only scary, but gross. Shadowlands. Special
Shadowlands.
Ops. Special them. Ops Infected and Trick or Treat Lights Out. That one is frustratingly scary.
Wow. Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, they give a very dim flashlight that flickers on and off, and it's pitch dark otherwise. So if it flicks off, you can't see.
I don't like that.
Yeah,
like
so I'm frustrated
lights.
With how little I could see, but it also makes it extra scary.
Yeah.
Okay. The Timber Mountain Log Ride Halloween Hootenanny will be back as well. The ever popular show The Hanging, a Western inspired parody with pop culture references, will hit the stage again. Fright fans will also be able to get their fill in the ghost town streets, Carn Evil, and the Hollow Scare Zones. New to the park this year, this is exciting, is the idea to turn the entire park into an attraction with an emphasis on themed landscaping and decor and enhanced ride lightning, as well as having some roller coasters, including Silver Bullet, operate in complete darkness. Two new mazes are dark entities in which guests are sent to investigate a lone space station where an unknown being is seeking a host. Okay, so I love alien scary movies, so that's great. And The Depths, in which they explore the caves where a mining crew disappeared. Rumors say their lives were taken by mythical creatures, but only you know the truth. There will also be a new Forsaken Lake Scare Zone. I'm excited for that. In the area under the Silver Bullet roller coaster that will feature gothic creatures coming out of the murky water and old-time funeral processions. Another new addition will be the dance party in Fiesta Village with Awaken the Dead, Sugar Skull, Go-Go Dancers, and live DJs.
Which we have talked about before in the past, right? Sugar Skull, Go-Go Dancers.
Yeah, that's what really upset some people before.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, it's... They think Knott's Berry Farm is not being very respectful to the Mexican culture of Dia de los Muertos.
Yeah, you brought it up when we did before the show, and we talked about the Coco-themed stuff at Disneyland, yeah. And you mentioned that Knott's Berry Farm had gotten into a little bit of trouble before.
Yeah, but they also got in trouble for paranormal, because it's supposed to be like a psych hospital, and so people say it's ableist. But I can understand being upset about the culture of the
Dia de los Muertos. Yeah,
that one's different. But there, basically, somebody's going to be upset about everything. So,
and my response to that is, I mean, because right, the Sugar Skull, the go, there, Dia de los Muertos. I'm sure there are dead go-go dancers, like at some point.
So. I'm sure somebody loved a go-go dancer that is now dead.
Right. So I don't get it. All right.
Okay.
Please don't email me about that.
We'll explore these offerings and more in depth for our Halloween spooktacular. You did it, Chris.
I did.
We'll explore it in a couple of weeks. Tickets for Not Scary Farm are available now online at www.com/tickets-passes/scary-farm.
That's a lot of.
So actually just Google Not Scary Farm tickets and you'll find it. Advance prices are currently $42 and up per night, $120 with Fright and Fastlane, $149 with Fright and Fastlane, buffet and parking. A season pass for the event is currently $95. And be careful buying that season pass.
Yeah, what happened with you? So Brandis went to go buy the pass for
It happened because I was renewing my season tickets. Because we discussed it on that last episode, the changes they made. So I went to go check it out. And I will say this before I jump into what happened with the season pass for Scary Farm. The renewal for pass holders is an amazing deal, actually. So now instead of paying for 6 months or 9 months, you're paying 11 months, but it's down. The price was cheaper from like $89, I think it was, down to $71. And it was $6.50 a month per person per pass. So I was able to add on the dining passes, and then I later went to I went to add on Scary Farm passes for this year, but it's not very clear online what you are buying, and I accidentally bought Scary Farm passes for 2019 instead.
Which begs the question: why are they selling passes for 2019 and not 2018.
This is where it gets confusing. If I would have bought it before, it would have added on to my pass this year. But because I bought it after renewing, because it goes on to, your pass is a card and that's where everything is.
That's really interesting. So you don't get a separate ticket. It's just on your.
Yeah, everything.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So I added it for 2019. And once I saw that, I emailed them and asked to transfer it to this year. And they said there are no refunds and no exchanges and transfers. And we will only be going once this year, but next year we will be going as much as we possibly can get over there.
Get that. Yeah. Get the value out of that. Man, that's rough. So when you told them that you bought it for 2019, the response was tough.
Yeah. Well, they were nice about it, but yeah, pretty much nothing we could do. Sorry.
Oh, man. All right. So we'll have to make that one trip. We'll have to make it worthwhile this year.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's cool. I mean, I'm really looking forward to Halloween Haunt. Your mention about the, season passes, from our last episode, we were going to cover corrections and retractions, but obviously that was, all of the information that we needed to cover, in terms of really laying out what the price structure and stuff was. So that's really cool. I love that they put your Scary Farm tickets on your annual pass.
Yeah.
That's really neat. So, all right. Well, as Brandis pointed out, I did it again. We are going to have probably not our next episode, but, as we get closer to October, we are going to have our Halloween spooktacular and we are going to recap all of the information that we have brought you for Disneyland, Halloween Horror Nights, Universal Studios, and for Knott's Berry Farm's Halloween Haunt. And we're going to talk about all of the Halloween offerings that are being offered this year at the theme parks. Maybe we'll even throw in, I know SeaWorld is doing some new Halloween stuff as well, and so is Six Flags Magic Mountain. So
Shamu's going to dress as a ghost.
No, that was for Christmas. It was Shamu with antler ears, right? All right. Well, we are going to move on. One final story, and I'm going to read that. And I would had to originally had wanted David to come in to give his perspective as a historian. But Oga's Canteen coming to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge in 2019. Disneyland will sell liquor publicly for the first time in its 63-year history, officials announced Thursday, August 30th. Though it will really be only available in outer space, also known as the Black Spire Outpost on the planet Batuu, that's a mouthful, in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge when it opens next year. Oga's Cantina, which will be serving pilots, bounty hunters, smugglers, locals, and galactic travelers alike in 2019. The decision to break with tradition and sell alcohol to the public is a landmark one that breaks with decades of tradition and has drawn skepticism from traditionalist fans. However, booze and cocktails have been big money makers at Disneyland's sister theme park, Disney California Adventure, which opened in 2001, where the cocktail menu even changes with the seasons. Starting next summer, visitors who want an adult beverage at Disneyland can find one inside the new Oga's Cantina among smugglers and aliens from a special menu of proprietary beer, wine, and outer space-themed cocktails. Drinks must be consumed inside the cantina only, leaving the rest of Disneyland alcohol-free, like it should be. Except for the park's secretive private Club 33, which also offers liquor to its members. Kids' drinks will also be available. A release from Disney on its park's blog states, patrons of the cantina come from across the galaxy to sample the famous concoctions created with exotic ingredients using otherworldly methods, served in unique vessels. With choices for kids and libations for adults, the cantina will make for a great stop. Musical entertainment is provided courtesy of RX-24, the former Starspeeder 3000 pilot droid who we met in Star Tours, who has re-envisioned himself as the cantina's DJ. This is one part that I'm really excited about, seeing Captain Rex again. As quirky and talkative as ever, he's still trying to do his best on the job.
Hey, sorry folks, I'm sure to do better next time. It was my first flight and I'm still getting used to my programming. Hey!
Disney author David Koenig, our friend, David Koenig, who's been predicting the move for months, told the Orange County Register the plan to sell liquor in the cantina wasn't all that surprising. The money in it is just too big, Koenig said. That was 100% of the decision. And I'm going to editorialize a little bit here. I don't like this decision. I think there are plenty of theme parks, and I think there are plenty of places on Disney property where you can get a drink. And there was a reason that when the park first opened that Walt Disney did not want alcohol at the parks. You could always get a drink at the hotel. And then, you know, in 1959, you could take the monorail over and get a drink at the hotel. But there was always a very strict non-alcohol policy except for Club 33. And that was one of the really unique things about Disneyland that made it very different from any other theme park. I'm a little disappointed in this decision. I thought, honestly, that there was no way that they were going to do this. That being said, if they're going to do it, I'm really glad that they're going to make the move, and hopefully we'll see how this goes. Supposedly you're only going to be able to have your drink in the cantina. So in the restaurant, in the theme. Now they try to make up all these stories about, and you know, oh, it's in the theme, and how can you know if it's going to be a place where smugglers go, you have to have bologna. It's all about the money. David Koenig said it perfectly. It's all about the money. They make so much money from alcohol sales. Some executive somewhere was like, why aren't we selling alcohol in Disneyland to the general public? Now, my fear is this. When it is successful, because it will be, because people are going to want to get a drink in Disneyland, that it's going to go the way of the Magic Kingdom in Florida. And the Magic Kingdom in Florida was also a dry park with no alcohol being served. Then it was, oh, well, we're just going to serve alcohol at the Be Our Guest restaurant, which is a Beauty and the Beast themed restaurant inside the Magic Kingdom. Beer and wine make for the theme. You know, Beauty and the Beast takes place in France. How can you be in France without wine? Which then, after about a year, morphed into, well, we're just going to sell beer in all of our sit-down restaurants. Beer and wine in all of our sit-down restaurants, regardless of the theme, regardless of where you're at, it's just going to be available. My fear is that it's going to be at like Universal Studios, and I don't know if they do this at Knott's Berry Farm, but at Universal Studios, you can walk down the, you know, Esplanade, down the main entrance parkway, and there's a booth where you can buy a 24-ounce Modelo. You know, you pay 16 bucks for it, but you can buy a beer at a cart. Do they do that at Knott's Berry Farm?
There are two places that I know of at Knott's Berry Farm outside of the Boysenberry Festival where you could get beer and wine. One is the Saloon.
Right, which also, in its early inception, did not sell alcohol.
And the other one is it's in Fiesta Village, and it's kind of tucked back by behind the swings and the teacups and all of that. So it's like most people don't even know there's a food stand there. It serves tacos.
Oh, yeah. By the Mexican Hat Dance. Yeah.
I don't know if they have wine, but I've gotten a 24-ounce Bud Light there before. Right.
And so what I asked John and Brandis, I asked him before we did the story, because I would thinking about seeing it for another day, but this was just it recently happened, and it's a topical thing to talk about. I don't want to let too much time go by before we discuss it. So I asked them if they had any feelings about this. Obviously, those are my feelings about it. My fear is that we're going to end up with beer carts, you know, in the middle of Fantasyland. And I, you know, that doesn't say Disneyland to me. And I asked them if they had any feelings about it. They said, not necessarily, but you do have a lot of feelings about booze. So what do you guys think about them, the decision for them to sell alcohol in Disneyland?
Okay, so I understand your fear, but Knott's Berry Farm does not have beer stands like Universal does. And they have less locations. And, you know, there's outside of the Boysenberry Festival, there's not many drunk people there.
I believe you can also get at the Ghost Town Grill, right?
Yes, you can. Yeah, the restaurant you're right, you Ghost can. Town. They yeah. actually have a really good dark beer there.
Yeah, I've heard that. So, sorry, go on.
But yeah, no, so it's not that bad. It's throughout the park in a sense, but it's not like beer, it's not like Universal Studios. But Universal Studios does full on mixed drinks. They have full bars. What is it?
They have the O'Flanagan's or whatever.
Yes, that's what it is. And you could get full, you could go get a martini.
Yeah, it's a bar. It's an actual
So yeah,
bar.
In Universal Studios, you could walk down with your martinis or your Manhattans or whatever it is. You want to drink instead of beer and wine for some reason.
Because nothing says theme park to me like on a 90 degree day than a, you know, just a dark,
yeah,
you know, Manhattan.
A shot of whiskey. Yeah, no, stick to the beer in your theme park. But no, as for Disneyland, the only time I ever go over to California Adventure is for the alcohol.
Yeah, and I love California Adventure for that. Like going over to California Adventure, it feels like, you know, you're going over to the, I don't hate to say this, but you're going over to the adult park, right? You know you can get some good, there's some good cocktails that they have. There's some neat places to sit and have a drink and have that experience.
Yeah.
And nobody judges you for having your beer in your little stroller cup holder.
Now, when I first started working at Disney was before California Adventure was opened. It was funny. They actually used to have a system like, so if you went to a restaurant, you would get a red cup, right? And you could not walk outside of the restaurant with the red cup, and then you had a green cup. So if you got like a cup at like a quick service restaurant, you know, if you got a beer at a quick service, you could walk around. So they had like red means stop, green means go, and they had these very like specific rules about where you could walk around with your beer. And then about a year or so after the park opened and nobody showed up, then they stopped enforcing that. All the cups are green now. But so I like going over there and knowing, okay, I can get a cocktail over here. I don't necessarily need that at Disneyland. I understand some people do, and some people that's what they're looking for. And you
Here's
know
my question.
Yeah.
So you gotta stay in the bar, like you can't leave with it.
You can't, according to this, you cannot leave the cantina.
That's gonna change when it gets too crowded.
I was gonna say, yeah, that means like people are gonna just be sitting there.
Well, and here's what I think it's going to be like. It's have you guys been to Trader Sam's at the hotel?
Mm-mm.
Okay. We gotta go one day. It's really fun. So it's a tiki bar, and it's a traditional tiki bar in that it's tiny. It's a really, really small place. So maybe I would say like no more than 30 people at a time in there. Now, granted, I think the canteen is going to be a little bit larger than that, but I think it's going to become like this thing where, you know, you're going to be waiting an hour. Part of your day at Star Wars Land is going to be waiting an hour to get into this thing. So, but I think you're right. I think at some point they're just going to say, okay, well, now you can just walk around with your beer in the land. And then that's going to become, well, now you can walk around with your beer in the park. And, you know, so to me, it's just this slippery slope.
And then the mint juleps they serve at,
right. Exactly. Are going to be real mint juleps, which by the way, have you ever had a real mint julep? They're disgusting.
I was going to say I haven't. I've only had the Disneyland one and it's delicious.
The Disneyland ones are delicious. They are, do not taste like a real mint julep. A real mint julep is bourbon, sugar, water, and mint.
It seems like there should be lemon in there.
Yeah, no, there isn't.
So I thought it was supposed to be like a southern drink because it's
it
hot.
It is a bourbon drink. It's bourbon, water, mint, and sugar. And I had a real one at the Ralph Brennan's Jazz Kitchen when I turned 21 because I'm like, oh, Disneyland mint juleps are delicious. And so when I turned 21, I'm like, I can go buy alcohol at Downtown Disney. And we went to Ralph Brennan's Jazz Kitchen and we ordered two mint juleps, my buddy and I, and like we had to suck those things down because like we had to fight to get those things down because they were just disgusting.
Can I ask, did you not drink till you were 21?
Oh God, no. No. Without incriminating myself too much.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I didn't drink until I was 21. And that was the biggest shock for me was the taste of alcohol. Cause TV makes it look so delicious.
Right. They make it. Yeah.
And my parents didn't drink hard alcohol, but yeah, they'd have beer or wine when we'd have company. And so it's like, I thought all these things were delicious. And I remember going to my first bar and I forget what I asked them for a menu and I just ordered the first thing on there. And it's like, it looks like it's going to be yummy and you taste it and it's not. Yeah. And it's like, you almost throw up.
My first experience with beer was a lot like that. I'm like, oh, beer makes you look so cool. I right? see all the beer ads on TV.
Yeah. And the beer ads make it seem like
refreshing. So refreshing.
It is once you get used to it.
My first sip of beer, I was like, what is this garbage? Like, it was insane. So again, you know, I understand why they're doing this. I understand that, you know, this is that change comes, like, much like the Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm not going to snap my feet and, you know, shake my fist to the sky. It's one of those things where either you can embrace it or you can, you know,
it does
let it ruin the experience for
you. It does seem like once the, you know, the egg is cracked, you know, it's all over.
That's exactly what it is.
So. It's all over.
All right. Well, going once, going twice. We have no corrections and retractions this week. We already covered that with our discussion on the Knott's Berry Farm annual passes. Other than that, does anybody have anything else?
I'm excited to go to Knott's Scary Farm with you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I am really looking forward to that. You can connect with Vacationland online by visiting our website, vacationlandpodcast.com, our Facebook page, facebook.com/vacationlandpodcast, Instagram @VLPodcast, our Twitter @VacationlandShow, and I've been getting a little bit better about going on Twitter. I can't stay off of Twitter now. It's fascinating to just scroll through there and see what people are up to. Or you can always email us at vacationlandpodcast@gmail.com. And as always, if you're listening to us on iTunes or watching us on YouTube, make sure to subscribe, rate, and comment. I'd like to thank all of our guests for joining us today. Thank you, Brandis. Thank you, John. And thank you all for listening. On behalf of all of us, we hope you've enjoyed the show, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your stay in Vacationland. We will see you next time for our Halloween Spooktacular.